Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm 33. We're in a little mini-series that will pop up from time to time dealing with the power of God's name. And in this study, we learn how the Bible tells us how we could use the various names of God. We know that the names of God are powerful. The names of God have meaning. That each of the names of God, as we study them, will tell us a characteristic or an attribute about God that teaches us more about how we can trust Him. The purpose of this little mini-series is to teach us the various ways we could use those names of God practically within our life, to be able to call on His names, to be able to put our dependence upon His name, to be able to use those names, to be able to see the power that are found within those names. We find a different way of how to use God's name found in the book of Psalm 33. Psalm 33, and if you don't mind, let's begin looking at verse number 18. Psalm 33, and look with me in verse number 18. The Bible says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Psalm 33, and notice with me verse 21. Notice this way of using God's name, trust in His holy name. Trusted in His holy name. And with this, we're going to see the principle here of trust in His name. You can trust Him. Trust in His holy name. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You again for You being a wonderful God. And as we come to You, we're just asking that You would give us grace and mercy and understanding. Lord, I'm asking that You would help us to understand more about Your names and how to use them, to know that we could depend upon You, that we can trust You because of Your character, because of Your attributes, because of whom You are. Help us to learn to trust You even more. Thank You, Lord. Give us power and grace and wisdom as we open up Your Bible. And in Your name we pray. Amen. Now, throughout the Bible, God's name has always carried the full weight of His character and His promises and His attributes. When you study the name of God, you learn more about who God is. The principle of trusting in His name is learning to trust in these specific promises, attributes, and ways that God has revealed Himself in His character. Trusting in His name isn't understanding a title, but it's knowing the person behind that name. For example, one of God's names is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. When I learn to trust in that name, I could trust that He's a God that provides. We know that throughout the Bible, there's many different names of God. One of God's name is that He is Savior. I can trust in Him to be my Savior. I could trust in His name to carry out that attribute that He is a saving God. I could trust in Him to be my deliverer. There are times that not only do I need delivered from my sins, sometimes I need delivered from the power of my sins. Sometimes I need delivered from a situation that I find myself in. that I could trust in him to be the deliverer. I can trust in his name. And again, it's not because we have some magic name, that once you have this magic name that you have a magic potion. But when you understand God's name, again, we're understanding that we're seeing an attribute, a characteristic, a promise that we could depend on the person to carry out, not just a name. We're trusting in a person. So with this, we're going to look at three different passages that will talk about trusting in his name and learn from these passages about what does it mean to trust in his name and how does that affect us. First of all, we see a principle here in Psalm 33 that trust in his name brings joy. Trusting in his name brings joy. Let's kind of examine this psalm. Psalm 33 is a song of praise. It's rejoicing in God's sovereign rule over the earth. Notice the verses that lead up to this. Verse number 8. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. The idea of hope here is not a wistful hope, like I hope that it's going to get warm outside soon. The word hope is a confident expectation of something or someone sure to come. So that's Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. God is a merciful God, and I could trust in his name to show me mercy, to give me hope, to be able to help during those times. I could look at him. Notice again, we're seeing an attribute, the eye of the Lord is upon them. That means God's always seeing where you're at. God hasn't lost you. He sees exactly the situation you find yourself in. The idea of his eye is upon the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. He knows where you're at. He knows what you found yourself in. You can trust him to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. We have a God who's able to carry us, deliver us in the hard times, in the awful times. And even if we were to die, we could trust him to deliver our soul from death. Verse 20, our soul waiteth on the Lord. Why? He is our help and he's our shield. Remember that waiting on God is the ultimate form of worship. It means that you trust in him. If you trust that God is able to do what he said he was going to do, you are thus going to be able to wait on him. Now remember, waiting on God isn't crossing your arms and tapping your foot and say, all right, anytime now, God. But it carries the idea that I can trust that he's going to do his part. I don't have to worry about it. So many people are messed up with worry. They can't sleep. They lose their hair, sometimes because they're pulling it out. Amen. They're anxious. They're shaking. They're just hyper-vigilant. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? They're just so worried about things. You don't have to, because you could wait on him. Why? Because you can trust in his name. Has God lost his power? The answer is no. You can trust him. And if I trust him, I don't have to worry. I can have peace, which, by the way, is the definition of joy in the Bible. Joy is not a silly grin plastered on your face 24/7. Joy is a peace that passeth all understanding. Joy is believing that God has got this handled. I don't have to worry because I trust in his name. I can trust that God is the provider, the Jehovah Jireh. I don't have to worry about finances. I trust in his name. Now remember, this doesn't mean, well, then I don't do anything. It means I obey his name, knowing he's got things taken care of. We don't have to be a people of worry. We don't have to be a people of fretting. We don't have to be a people who are just always just, what's going to happen? Wringing our hands, what's going to happen? We can trust in him, and it gives us peace, and it gives us rejoicing. We have a reason to sing no matter what happens, because I trust his name. We should be a people that have learned to depend on him. Notice as it goes on, verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him. Why? Because we have trusted in his holy name. The idea of the holy name here is carrying the idea of God's perfection, of God's power, of God's purity. That God is a God who's going to have this settled. I can trust in him. Praise the Lord, as Christians, we can live a different life because we trust him. You say, but you don't understand. Things are getting worse. Yeah, well, the Bible told us it would. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. And that seducers shall wax worse and worse. The Bible told us this. He didn't tell us because he wanted us to worry about the future. He's telling us, he says, I already see everything. I've got things well in hand and you can trust me. It doesn't matter what happens in political office. It doesn't matter about what famine or inflation may happen. We don't have to worry and fret about this circumstance and this circumstance. We can trust in his holy name. And that we can be a people of peace and a people of rejoicing no matter what goes on. Now, this is important because we live in a world where the sky is falling. Everyone's losing their minds, Chicken Little. And there, we live in a very panicked world. We live in a world that enhances fear. And people are constantly in a state of fear. And whenever people start getting out of fear, the news will make sure there's something more to fear. Yep, exactly. Something else will come down the pike to keep people in fear. Yes. But we can rejoice. We can have peace because we trust in his holy name. Listen, if they decide to start killing Christians, I can still live in peace. Why? Because what are they going to do? Send me to heaven? I can trust in God that they can't take heaven away from me. They could take me out of this world and I'm going to be better off for it. What a wonderful God that we have. We can trust him. And we can be at peace. And we can rejoice because we trust in his holy name. We trust in the character and the unique attributes of our real God. We can trust in him. Notice, if you don't mind, let's turn to Zephaniah. Zephaniah is going to be found in what we would call the minor prophets section. If you were to turn backwards from Matthew, so if you found the New Testament book of Matthew, you would turn to Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah. Zephaniah in chapter number 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, and we find something else about trusting in God's name. We see another usage of this trusting in his name. Now, the beginning of Zephaniah chapter 3 begins a declaration of judgment upon Jerusalem because of its rebellion and because of its sinful ways. But the end of Zephaniah chapter 3 ends with a message of hope. And we're thankful that no matter what, we could still have hope. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 12. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 12. The Bible says, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. What we understand in this passage in the context is trust in his name provides security in affliction. That trusting in his name can provide security in the middle of affliction. That means when everything is falling apart, we can still have peace. We can still have joy, even in affliction. We find that we have to remind Christians over and over and over that God never promised you a bed of roses. God never promised you that as soon as you got saved, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. God never promised you as a Christian that you would lie in beds of ease. God never promised that it would be easy. In fact, he told you it's going to be the opposite, that there is no easy way to follow after God. And so because of that, that means that you can look forward to seeing more things go wrong, More things have issues. More things fall apart around you. But you don't have to respond like you used to, and you don't have to respond like the rest of the world. You can trust in him. Notice in verse 11. So Zephaniah 3 in verse 11. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, when thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Now, catch up on context. The people of Israel have been surrounded by enemies, and it doesn't help that they've been ignoring God too. But God is not finished with Israel, and he has a plan that in the future, God is going to bring Israel to himself, and he is going to destroy all of the enemies of Israel. He said, mark it down. You could trust me. This is going to happen. We know that this is still in our future. This hasn't happened yet. But that's a good assurance that God made promises, and he's going to carry out those promises. We can trust him. He's got a plan. Notice in verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. So notice in verse number 12, the description of the people that's trusting in God. Afflicted and poor. You say, that's me. I'm in the Bible. But notice it also says you can trust in him. You could trust God in your afflictions. You could trust God when your health goes bad. You could trust God that he works. Now you say, well, I trusted God. Why is my health going bad? No, you misunderstood. God knows how to use our afflictions for his glory and for his honor. He knows how to use these things in our life. We call this principle treasures in darkness, that the worst things that happen can turn to be the greatest things that happen if it draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows what he's doing, and we can trust him. If God decides to allow me to break my arm, I could trust that he knew what he was doing. It wasn't what I signed up for, but I can trust God. If God decided to allow the C word to hit me, cancer. Trusting in God doesn't mean that I'll never get struck with cancer. It means that no matter what he puts in my life, I can trust him. And if we allow him, he will bring glory to his own name through the afflictions. By the way, it said poor. Do you know that God could trust you, and while you're poor, you could trust God? Well, I trusted God. I thought I was going to have $1 million. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said enjoy being poor, but you could trust him. You could trust in him to take care of your provisions, to supply what you need, to be able to take care of you, that you don't have to worry and fret, that we have the ability to show our God is trustworthy. It's very easy to say, I've got a good God when everything's going right. Amen. It's very easy to say, I've got a good God when your bills are paid. It is very easy to say, I have a good God when you're healthy. But what's a real testimony to the world around us is that when I'm not healthy and when I'm not rich and when I have things falling apart, that I can still say, I can trust him. That's the testimony that shows that we have a real God. God is not a good God when everything is going well. He is a good God no matter what is going on. I can trust him. So in the middle of my affliction, I can have the security I can trust him. Now, that's easy to say, but sometimes our practice doesn't carry that. Oh, things are going bad. Why does God hate me? God doesn't hate you. Oh, things aren't working out the way that I expected. What's going on? Can you trust him? God is trying to see if we would be a people that could trust him. Notice verse 13. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Now, of course, this is a millennial kingdom passage. Remember, Israel has enemies surrounding around them. And God says, what I'm going to do in the future is I've got a plan. I've got something for you that I'm going to bring you salvation, and I'm going to change your nature. you're no longer going to speak lies. You're no longer going to be in iniquity. And I'm going to give you to a place of peace. And I'm going to give you a place where you can lie down and not worry about people coming and oppressing you. I'm going to take care of you. You can trust me in your affliction. It's not there yet, but I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. I see what I have planned for you in the future. You can trust me. May I remind you that God can see your future. God sees how it's all going to turn out. He can see that the affliction that you're going through, he can see what's going to happen at the end of it. God can see it all. And I can trust him. That this light affliction is but for a moment. I can trust in him. This helps us to be a very stable people. That we don't have to panic after every hiccup. We don't have to freak out every time the bill comes. We can trust in him. Notice, if you don't mind, we have one more thing. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the gospel record of Matthew. The gospel record of Matthew, chapter number 12. We can trust the Lord. Matthew chapter 12. And if you don't mind, for context's sake, let's just start at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now, this chapter begins with Jesus healing on the Sabbath day and facing oppression from the Pharisees. Immediately before this passage here, Jesus withdraws from the crowds because of the growing opposition. And yet, despite of this, Jesus is still working and leading people to himself, even in the middle of the oppression that's coming on by the Pharisees, by the religious establishment. Notice that what we see is that there's a prophecy given by Isaiah in Isaiah 42. We're not turning there, but this is this prophecy. Notice in verse 17, rather. Matthew 12, 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. We're going to see this in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. Verse 18. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So notice this passage, which is a prophecy in Isaiah, is going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, be filled with God's Spirit, be directed by God to be a judgment, to work with the Gentiles. Notice with me verse 19. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. What's the last thing I want to show you here? Is that the trust in his name extends to all people. In Zephaniah, we saw a promise that was directly to the Israelites. And we could say, well, God has his people and sure he loves them. But do you know that God wants us, every single person, every Gentile, every Jewish person, it doesn't matter who you are, anyone and everyone can trust God, can trust in him. We could trust in him for salvation. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful that whosoever covers me, that whosoever covers everyone, anyone and everyone can trust in the name of Jesus. That they can trust it for themselves. This is not isolated to white people. It's not isolated to just European descent. It's not just isolated to a certain continent. This is worldwide. Doesn't matter who they are, where they're at. They can trust in him. God has extended this invitation to anyone and everyone. And by the way, that was a promise and a prophecy in Isaiah that was carried on, that God had always had us in mind, that God had always wanted to reach the world, and that we were always his plan, and that we can trust in him. I'm thankful for that, that we can trust in him. that God chose to see fit to allow Jesus to die for the sins of the entire world, that we can trust in his holy name. So what does we do with this? First of all, if you don't know for sure that Jesus is your personal Savior, God's given you an invitation to trust in his holy name. What does that mean? Well, it's recognizing that you do deserve judgment. That's what Jesus was saying. You deserve judgment. You are a sinner. There is none righteous, no, not one. Because of your sins, you've offended a holy, righteous God. You deserve eternal separation from that holy God into an awful place called hell. That is the judgment that you deserve. But God didn't want you to go there. So what he did is that God robed himself in flesh as the Lord Jesus Christ and came on this earth and lived the same life that you and I lived. He went through the same temptations, the same heartbreaks, and the same troubles. Then he died on the cross to pay for your sins and pay for mine. Jesus was buried on a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, he rose again. Why did he rise again? Well, Jesus rising from the grave proved two things. First of all, it proved that Jesus was God and that God was satisfied with the payment. It is because Jesus rose again that we can have confidence in trusting in his name. I don't have to pay for my sins. How do I know that? Because he rose from the grave. That is my evidence. That is my proof. That is my hope. Jesus rose from the grave. You know, if Jesus rose from the grave, anyone can say, well, your sins are paid for. But I don't have evidence or proof. Jesus rising from the grave gave me proof. And so, therefore, I don't have to just believe in someone's word. I can believe in evidence. I can trust in him. I don't have to worry about doubts. God has proven himself real. I can trust him. That's helpful. There's a lot of people out there who are stuck in religion, and they have no confidence whatsoever. They have no trust that they are going to heaven. They're trying really hard to be good people. They're trying really hard to try to do their religious ceremonies, their religious sacraments. They're trying really hard to do this and to do this. But remember, my confidence is not in me, and it's not in my things, nor is it religion. I trust in his name. Trusting in him. What's more, I could trust his name that I'm one of his. That God has made me his family. And I could trust in him that there's a God who cares for me. I now have the ability to trust in him as a Gentile believer that God even cares for me. Praise the Lord. What a simple truth that becomes powerful. I can trust him. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. Lord, I know a message like this can be easy to preach, but sometimes hard to live out because we do have bills. We do have hiccups. We do have things that get in the way. And our first response isn't always to trust God. Our first response is sometimes to freak out. Our first response is to get worried. Our first response is to get anxious. Our first response is to look to ourselves. And then we find that that doesn't solve the problem. But Lord, we can trust you. We could trust you to work when we can't trust people to work. We can trust you to take care of my sins, to wash them away full, free, and forever, never to be brought up again. And we could trust you for every day of our life because of your names, because of your attributes, because of who you are. Maybe perhaps there's someone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. May I tell you that today you could trust in his name, the person of who God is? Maybe there's some of you that said, I've been saved, and I've been saved for a while, but I've been finding myself not trusting. I've been finding myself living in worry, fret, anxiety. I've been more nervous than before. May I remind you that you could trust in him. You can trust in God's holy name for whatever situation you find yourself, whether you're afflicted, whether you're poor, you can trust him. Lord, I'm asking that we would be willing to run to you and to just announce to you, I trust you. And that you would help develop the habit in our life that when something goes wrong, something goes that's unexpected, that we could declare to you, I trust you. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.